There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You
funny
scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon God, the podcast that is infecting people left and right. And joining me, as always, is the never infectious, always in a hazmat suit, Lee.
Yes, I, you know what? I've been in a hazmat suit. I've been in the level 4 one with the air that has
now,
to be pumped in.
Let me ask you this. So if you do a tour at the CDC, they actually do have hazmat suits there for you to try on. Isn't that sort of counterproductive? Because it seems like a lot of people have put their heads and bodies inside of those things that now it's the people outside of the hazmat suit are safer than the people that are inside of it.
Well, see, that's only though. See, you got to understand that one that you got to be in, that was only for you. Oh. That's only like the pretend one. That's not a remember it had big rip in it?
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to die if you wear that one.
Right, but you understand what my point is. There's other people that got into that thing after I didn't. I'm sure there's hundreds of people that got into it before me. It was It was actually more dangerous to be inside the hazmat suit than to not be in it.
Yeah. Okay. Don't do it.
Anyway.
Germs are bad. Germs are bad. Just go with germs are bad.
And since we're on that topic, people will tell you that the hand sanitizers are not great for the society in general. But, you know, when you're at Dragon Con, you do with what you got. And it's not a bad idea. As I said in a previous podcast, think of all the people who have touched that railing before you just that weekend.
As we talk, I am making lasagna right now. And my husband is kind of a stickler about making sure that I'm not going to kill somebody while I cook, which is a good thing because, you know, he's a chef. And I'm washing my hands a lot as we're doing this and all that. But I would tell you, as John said during the last podcast, think about it this way. How many people have touched that railing? How many people that doorknob? How many people this, that? It doesn't matter. Ew, gross, nasty, wash your hands. And then when you can't wash your hands or something happens and you need it else, go buy that little dollar sanitizer. You can get it at Dollar Store. You can get it at CV, wherever.
And you get it with those little hooks. You can get it with those little hooks. You can hang it off your belt loop. Yeah. You can make it part of your costume. Hey, you could also, you know, like, you could put some sort of design over the top of them, and then they could really be integrated into your costume.
There you go. You can make it really pretty. You can make it, you know, if you, whatever you're cosplaying as, figure out a decoration for it. You can do that. So there's that. I want to talk just real briefly because at some point I will probably have to call in to do my own podcast because I don't want to have a game against myself where I lose. But Dragon X Track and Paranormal Track are doing an 80s dance. It's going to be Thursday night. Look in the app where it is. I'm pretty sure it's going to be in the Sheraton. I'm sorry, in the Hilton in the Crystal Ballroom. John, you can look that up for me. And it's going to be 80s dance. I got myself the most 80s outfit ever. I cannot wait to wear it. I got a shirt for John. He's wearing it. I don't care what. You better find me.
And that's all I'm wearing.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Not that mean. We're going to be doing 80s dance. If you bring something or you want to do like a lip sync or something like that, we will not have a very much karaoke set up. But if you want to karaoke over something, we will have a microphone in that room. You can do it. Have a DJ. It's going to be very 80s. This is think Stranger Things 80s. So have fun with that, and we're going to be doing that. So yay! Come to the 80s party on Thursday night. And then after our party is over, because we go to bed early, go to the 8-bit ball, which is done by gaming, and have fun over there.
Yeah, and that's all Thursday night, right?
That is all Thursday night. You do need a badge, but yay! And then John, you are doing a lot of panels and stuff.
Probably the two that I would like maybe three that I'd like to mention. One, the first one, which I believe is Friday night, is, the Solve This, improv, problem solving, panel I'm on. I usually do horribly. If you like dad jokes, well, basically, if you've been listening to this podcast, you've heard nothing but dad jokes. Yeah, then not but dad jokes, but they're never mind. That's the place to go. That's Friday night. Then Sunday during the day, I believe it is the Lost Final Lost panel.
I think that is correct. Yep.
Yeah. So you know, as it is, and directors have to make these decisions sometimes. Lee is going to, at least until we get guests, going to retire the long running Lost panel, which by the way has always been standing room only, but it's now been. Where are we at? Almost 15 years since the first episode.
Somewhere is it really in there. Been that 13, long?
I think it's 13 really? Years. I think it's 13 years right now. I'll do the math in a minute. Okay. And we're coming up on the 10th anniversary of the final episode in a year or two.
And guys, it's not that we don't love it. We do love it. I just, unfortunately, there's only so much room. I've only got about 30-ish hours.
And she's had to make decisions that, you know, whatever.
And I got to make decisions that I hate, by the way, too. You know, I don't even talk about The Lone Gunman and Millennium anymore, which I adored both of those shows. So that says something, too.
So we're going to do a special send off for it. We're going to have a wake where we're going to ask the audience members. And if you've been to Aaron's or my running of that panel the last couple of years, this is sort of how we've gone with it. We're going to ask the audience members, the fans, to come up and say a special word or two about their favorite character as though they've passed on and we are saying goodbye to them for the last time, which is probably not the last time, but it is the last time for now. Hopefully it's never
and
the last
I
time.
I think we're doing that Sunday afternoon. So if you wish to go in and bring your adult beverage, it's fine. Just clean up after yourself. We understand.
Don't pour any out on the floor, though.
No. I'll get the
line. Don't pour any out for your Hurley or your homie.
No, don't do that. You wouldn't do that anyway, Dragon Con. We're better than that. Yeah.
And probably the last thing that I'd say that were things that I'm at, which by the way, you know, we do like 40 of these. I never ever say what I'm doing, but would be Sunday night. We're the Need Coffee Fun Fest. That's something that we prepare every year. It's about 2 hours of mayhem and prizes. And they're just various different games that we play up on stage and you get to have fun and watch and audience members are, you know, sign up for the games and then they get prizes and then just audience members for being audience members will get prizes at random and get candy thrown at their head.
You just get prizes for showing up. But not like, you know, like a trophy. Also one other place, if you want to find me and chat
that's,
with
that's
me.
Sunday night, by the way, that's what I forgot to say. Oh, 8:30.
I apologize. I didn't mean
in the Hyatt.
In the Hyatt, Sunday night. It's in, I think, Regency
5.
Okay.
3 and 4 next door has a Gonzo show going on at the same time. So some of our audience is in there as well, but, you know, whatever.
Well, people go back and forth, and that's great. We like that. That's why you have Dragon Con. It's about choices. But the other thing is I will be at the parade. I will be at the parade. I help herd the cats Saturday morning. And if you're Deadpool, I will have a version of Careless Whisper on my phone and we can dance if you want, or, you know, whatever you want to do. But that's a lot of fun too. I get to help herd the cats with Jan and all the parade people. So I will also be there along with doing all the other stuff, but that's something I do that's outside of my room and I'm really excited about it. It's always fun. It's a lot of work, but it's always fun too.
Yeah. Everyone's but, you know, at the end of that, everyone's just sort of dead. I mean, that's been walking, you know, all that in that heat and everything. And it's like, they're just dragging their feet behind them and shambling. And like, it's almost as though the world has ended for them.
It really is. It is. They are so, so exhausted. And, you know, then they just kind of shamble through the Marriott, through the Hilton, and then they end up somewhere, which is a track called what?
Apocalypse Rising, I believe.
I think so. And I think we might have the track director here. Is that right?
No.
Okay, then I guess we're done.
All right.
No, I'm joking. Shannon's it's not here, the, of course. It is not the end of 50 days. How you doing?
Hey, I'm Shannon.
Doing good. Yeah, we really got to work on this next year, John. But Shannon is the director of Apocalypse Rising, which, you know, you would think it's just about zombies, but it's not always. She also has The 100 and a lot of other shows she's going to talk about. So, Shannon, what you going to be doing this year, girl?
Oh, the question is, what aren't we going to be doing?
That works. Okay.
Yeah, it's probably a shorter answer, too. like you said, we do zombie stuff, most definitely. We cover The Walking Dead, and we're talking zombies, and are they able to survive this, like, massive pulp culture boom that they've been going on the last couple of years. But on top of that, we also talk about survivalism. We kind of take it to a real level, and we talk about bug out bags and how you need to get yourself prepared for that local natural disaster. And then, you know, we have a lot of great television shows, too, that we talk about, like Into the Badlands and The 100 and Colony. And we're just kind of all over the place, but it's great.
Yeah. Oh, so you have, Into the Badlands. Okay. I guess it does occur. Basically anything that's in a post-apocalyptic world that isn't, so I don't think Hunger Games doesn't fall under you. That falls under young adult lit, right? Just because of.
Yeah. It does. It is does fall under young adult lit. Yeah. I mean, we'll touch on it probably in some of our lit panels, mm-hmm. but I think it mainly is their property.
Yeah. So.
I mean, you guys have a lot of things that crossover, and I absolutely adore the show, The 100. My son got me hooked, and I cannot miss it now. It is one of my absolute must-sees all the time. I love that show.
I completely agree, and it just keeps getting better and better, which is super exciting.
Oh, it's cool. Love that show. Love it!
Before we get too far into the track, I actually, because we were all talking before we started recording, and something interesting is that Shannon actually isn't local to Atlanta, and actually Lynn Lee corrected me and said that a lot of the directors aren't local to Atlanta. But you're actually all the way over on the other coast. You're over in San Diego, the site of that other thing.
I am indeed all the way in San Diego. I'm a native Californian and I've lived here all my life.
So how did you get involved with Dragon Con? How did you hear about Dragon Con, and when did you start coming to Dragon Con and everything about you? Tell us your life story.
Well,
Dragon Con related only.
Yeah. I actually, this will be my 15th year coming to Dragon Con. And I can't believe it's been that long. But I actually came the first year because of a little tiny show called The Tribe. It was a post-apocalyptic show that was filmed in New Zealand. That was on Starz back when the Starz channel was first getting its start. And I was really into it, and I was on all the message boards and everything. And then Starz Encore decided to bring some of the cast members to Dragon Con. So I did what you always do when you're going to your first major convention outside of your own state, is I got a room with 7 other girls off the internet that I had never met before. And we all came from our various states. And had a blast. It really was kind of like a coming home experience. Like I had found my people. And it was great. And I've been going every year since, even though the tribe has long since gone. And actually that track turned into what is now the Apocalypse Rising track. So
how did you get cornered into being a director?
I actually wanted to be a director, mainly because I didn't know then what I know now.
but how much work it is, you know.
I actually love being a director for all its challenges. It's got so many more rewards. And I wanted to make, you know, a difference. I wanted to put my stamp on Dragon Con, and I love the genre, both zombies and apocalyptic and all of it. And I, you know, as openings became available, I kind of worked my way up the ladder. And a couple years ago, I think it's been 5 years now, I got my shot to become a director, and I haven't looked back.
Nice. So you have, we've already talked a little bit about the shows you cover and the practicality that you cover. Yeah. You also do some stuff, some big events like a dance and whatnot, right?
We do. Friday night is our party night. So we start off usually around 4 p.m. with complimentary zombie makeovers. They are free, although we do strongly encourage tipping to help our FX artists cover the cost of their makeup and everything. But they're professional FX artists, and they set up in the 6th floor overlooking the Westin, and they will do your zombie makeup for free. And that kind of gets you ready for our zombie walk, which starts at 8:30. And goes from the Westin all the way to the Hilton Grand Salon, which is where our zombie prom is. And that's our big dance that goes from 10 to 2.
So there's literally, and I've never been outside to see this. There's literally a cavalcade of zombies going from the Westin over to the Hyatt, right? Is that what we said?
To the Hilton.
Hilton, but yeah, Hilton, further down, yes.
It's a moving, shambling horde of zombies.
And do you go through the Hyatt? Although, do you use the trails, or do you walk
around? We do not. We used to, but now with security checks, it really kind of slows your horde down even further if everybody's got to stop and find their badge and show their badge to get into the hotel. Mm-hmm. So we just stick to outside. Plus, that gives us a lot more freedom to interact with people. Like, it's not so confined, and, like, people can come up and take photos, and, you know, we've had tons of people over the years that come up, because it's about 300 participants that we have every year.
Wow.
So that's a good-sized group of zombies shambling through the street.
That is officially a horde.
Yeah, it is.
Especially given the size of the streets.
Yeah.
And I've never felt more odd than being at the DragonCon parade one year with zombies shambling and having to say, "Zombies, you look great, shamble a little faster," and they all listen. It was kind of cool, by the way. So, yeah. But they still shambled, but they shambled a little faster. It's kind of fun.
We do have a shambling tutorial before our horde heads out, usually, to kind of to get everybody in the spirit of how to shamble correctly, because zombies do obey traffic laws. We need to learn how to shamble while obeying the little, like, walking man or the stopping hand.
No, well, now let me ask you, because I have to ask the director of Apocalypse Rising this question. 28 Day Zombies or Romero Zombies?
I like Romero Zombies.
All right. All right, yeah, you can I'm a classicist.
Well, I like them all, but my preference.
Good answer.
Hey, it takes all kinds of zombies.
Yes, it takes a zombie to raise a village. To literally raise a village. Just spelled the other way. Anyway, fun with words. So what kind of tracks? Oh, well, let's back up a second. Who do you have for guests this year?
For guests this year, we have 4 cast members from the 100 coming. Mm-hmm. So we've got Christopher Larkin and Richard Harmon, Zach McGowan, and I'm going to butcher her name, but it's Taza Tellez, I believe is how you pronounce her name.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Super easy. But they're all characters that were pivotal to this past season. So it's like Ice Nation, if you watch the show, that's exciting for you. And all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be some really, really great conversations that we're going to be able to have. And then
I assume that they have a big panel where they're all on at the same time.
They do. They have panels Friday, Saturday, and Sunday where all 4 of them are present.
Oh,
and
great.
Yeah, Zach's got to leave, so it'll just be 3 of them on Monday. But we have big panels every single day in the Peachtree Ballroom in the Westin.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Check the app, folks. Exactly. So who else do you have?
We have Michael Rooker. We're stealing him away from main programming for a panel. So it'll be him, and we'll actually get him talking about his time on The Walking Dead, and that'll be the main focus. He's doing other panels for Guardians of the Galaxy, but we're going to try and hone in and give our Walking Dead fans what they've been craving for the last several years, which is someone talking about The Walking Dead.
How many guests have you actually had from The Walking Dead over the years?
Oh, we have probably had 10 of the actors over time. None recently, but yeah, back in the first couple of years when they were coming every year. Mm-hmm. We would have 4 to 5 come. And they were great. They were great. It's just hard because they're filming right now and they live in Atlanta, and it just got to be too challenging with their schedules.
Right. Well, you'd think it'd be easier with them living in Atlanta, but really the fact is that they are still shooting and at this time of the year, because this time of the year is, even though it's 9,000 degrees outside in Atlanta, it's also a good time for as far as sun and light and all of the other nonsense. So.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was nice because they were right here, but then also trying to tell somebody that they have to get out of their warm, comfy bed to sit in front of 4,000 people when they just went to bed 2 hours ago. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I get it. I wouldn't want to do it either.
So what kind of, what other tracks do you have that do you cover besides the ones we've talked about already?
Really, we do like survivalism, a lot of stuff for survivalism. Like, we actually have a local paramedic come in and teach a first aid course.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so he does hands-on first aid demos for both, you know, like, hey, you broke your finger, what do you do? To more disaster triage type things to kind of walk you through. So we try to do a lot of practical stuff in and amongst all of our media and television stuff that we do. So we'll talk about bug out bags and all kinds of great stuff.
Has he covered what to do in the event of radiation poisoning?
He has, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yes, he has in past years. I don't know that we're going to get to it this year, but yeah. we cover
it right. Kevin, why do you want me not to sleep tonight?
Although this year might be the year you might want him to talk about. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I try not to think about it.
Oh, yeah, you are out in California. Anyway. Yeah. So, on to happy subjects. How about zombies?
Zombies are so happy.
In comparison, yes.
They are. We are super excited because Jonathan Mayberry is coming.
Yes, he's awesome, isn't he?
He's amazing. So amazing. And he's had a couple-year hiatus, so he's coming back. And we're going to do... we're giving him his own panel, so it'll just be a conversation on him and his work. But he's also going to stick around and do a panel for us on surviving zombies, surviving the modern age. So, like, you know, zombies as a metaphor are very common. And in this political climate, it's even more common. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to sit down with a bunch of experts and talk about that stuff. We're going to talk about the impact The Walking Dead has had on the modern zombie genre. Like, you know, has that changed the landscape of that genre? And yeah, and then we're going to talk Walking Dead. We're going to have fan panels on Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead and all that good stuff.
Are you going to be doing anything on, is it Blood Drive? The one with, you have to have cars powered with blood?
Yes, we are not. Oh. That's actually the horror track.
Oh, okay. That works for me too. It's kind of both. Yeah. So I get that one going with horror. Yep. There we go.
Yep. Okay. I'm so sad because I love the main actor on that. He used to be on Falling Skies, which was a property that we had. And he is phenomenal, one, as an actor, and two, probably one of the nicest human beings I have ever met. He did Mad Matrix for us while we were waiting for their panels to start.
Okay, I'm sorry. Who is the actor? Because I watched Falling Skies. So which one is it?
It's the guy that played Pope on Falling Skies.
Oh, yes. Who also played Major Davis in Stargate.
Yes, exactly. And he's, I don't watch Blood Drive.
I'm some of my early fans. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So I'm forgetting his name right now, but he is one of the nicest human beings ever. And I really hope that now that he's got a hit new show on Sci-Fi that we'll be bringing him back to Dragon Con for Derek's track.
I can't remember his name either, and it's killing me too. So.
I'm on the IMDb's right now trying to find it.
Well, I noticed that I was perusing your schedule, and I noticed there's one that caught a track that caught my eye. A Lady's Guide to the Apocalypse?
Yes. Yes, indeed. And that's actually one that I particularly love. We get a bunch of female authors together, and we talk about the apocalypse from basically the lady's perspective. Because in genre, you've got two very different sides. You've got kind of your heroes that are always finely coiffed, always wearing the lipstick as they save the world. And then you've got like these great characters coming out more recently, like Furiosa and Katniss, that are, you know, ladies who kick ass. And they do it while saving the world. So we're going to talk about kind of stories from their perspective, you know, how it differs from typical apocalyptic stories, and if having a female protagonist in a post-apocalyptic story changes the story at all.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point too.
That is very interesting. Very cool. I like that.
You also get a Handmaid's Tale for
you.
Speaking of A Lady's Guide to the Apocalypse.
Yeah, exactly.
And awesome. I will note, looking at it, it does immediately follow that particular.
Yes, it does. And I am super excited for that. I've been a Margaret Atwood fan for years and years and years. I was actually an English lit major. And I am nothing short of thrilled as to how Hulu adapted A Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be a really great panel. We've got a couple pros on there that are, you know, big fans, and then some fan panelists that are super excited to sit down and kind of take a look at it.
That's really cool. I had never read the book, and my wife, and my daughter have, but because I don't read. I don't read. I know. It's shocking.
You didn't read that book, really?
Yeah, I know. Shocking, right?
That's why there are audiobooks now. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, whatever.
Hear. No, that is literally. It is. Okay. Stopping now. I didn't say it.
But even for someone coming from the outside who knew, you know, roughly what the story was about.
Yeah.
That is a really well done show.
Yeah, it had all the feels, as I like to put it. Like it was one of the few dramas where I'm like screaming and throwing things at my TV. I usually reserve that for Game of Thrones. But this show had me doing the exact same thing because it was so well done.
This is not a spoiler, but speaking of Game of Thrones, did you see the picture with the truck in the background on the other side of the wall?
Oh no, I did not.
Yeah, it was in the special edition piece, you know, the stuff that's after the making of or whatever. But they were shooting, and there was literally in the background there was a truck up on a ledge. Not too far back on the north side of the wall. So the speculation, of course, is that's how everybody's actually getting around. They just never show that part. That's how everyone can get from one place to the other, like insanely fast this season. Anyway,
Jon Snow found the secret to the combustion engine. You know,
yes, like, exactly
how he's actually being useful in surviving.
So other things to talk about. What other panels do you have that are of interest to you that you're really excited about this year?
I'm really excited that we are talking about Into the Badlands, which is a fantastic show as well. And we're going to be talking about Colony, which is starring.
I have not seen season two. Should I?
It is so interesting. Yes.
Oh, it gets so much better. And I love it because it's an alien invasion show that doesn't really talk about the aliens.
Right.
So it's just so interesting because it's this study of human nature where the aliens are just kind of like this off-screen catalyst.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Shannon, I would also make the argument, like, is it really the apocalypse? I'm not trying to argue it for, like, getting it away from apocalypse track. I'm just saying that it's just a different way of living.
Well, they nuked a bunch of the world, right?
Well, they did. Well, they nuked a bunch of the world, but it's not.
Although, again, I've only seen season one, so I'm not sure. And they're everyone's sort of cut off, so no one. I don't really know what happened, but
yeah, and I think that's kind of why it falls to us, because kind of like post-apocalypse, like the apocalyptic event has happened, and now it's kind of the rebuild or the, you know, dealing stage of things.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it's very
society.
Interesting. Yeah.
So, well, and plus, the other thing is that I've been for the Lost panel, I've been re-watching some episodes of Lost and falling back in love with Josh again. Oh boy! I mean, no. I mean, I'm a straight male, but you know,
you're really cool dude.
He's you know, he still takes his shirt off, and you know. It's lonely.
We obviously know he does that in season two as well.
He does. He finally gets around to taking off his shirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
Exactly.
There we go. Now you've got John interested in season two. There we go.
Now yeah, just
to find that grab, that hook.
Yeah, I just missed it because I caught it. We caught up on it. I think maybe it was on Netflix for a period of time. And so then we watched it, but then I just never DVR'd it. It's on USA, right? Of all places.
Yes, it is on USA.
So that's where they have suits. But then again, I guess they also do have Mr. Robot over there as well. So
they have Mr. Robot over there, which is an amazing show too. I mean, USA, a lot of shows are, a lot of networks or what network, whatever they're called now, they're doing amazing stuff. And and I think you can actually see a lot of it on the USA app if you've got that. So,
okay.
Right. The last seven episodes of the season are on the USA.
Yeah, see, that's what the problem is. They don't put all of them on there, and I need to see all of them in order to.
I know. I had to break down and buy it.
Oh, you bought it. Okay.
Yeah, because I was actually moving when all of my TV shows came back on. Like, everything is a winter replacement, pretty much, that my track does. The 100, Into the Badlands, Colony, all of it. And I had to move houses suddenly in February. So I missed the first like half of all the seasons. And I was like, well, there's nothing for it. Can't DVR it. I'm just going to have to buy the seasons this year. So I looked for sales.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. You could do that too. That's a good idea. Any other tracks? I keep saying tracks. Any other?
I was like, how many do you want me to handle?
Yeah. Why aren't you handling all the tracks? Take care of them, will you?
Yeah.
No. Any other panels that are really you're really looking forward to sitting in on?
I am excited about our Craft of Dystopia panel, which is one of our literature panels, and it's going to be talking about dystopian stories and dystopian world building, and importantly, how it differs from post-apocalyptic worlds, because I think a lot of people get confused and think that they're the same thing, and they're two very different things. So we've got like a comic book writer and some authors that are going to come in and kind of talk about that. Because I am a dystopian junkie. I've always loved those stories from 1984 to, you know, what's coming out more recently. And so I think that's going to be a really fun, interesting panel.
Well, I'm kind of a dystopian junkie too. I mean, I think the first one I really read as a younger person was The Stand. So yeah, I've always, that kind of idea of what happens after is so interesting to me, and being that kind of a junkie. Oh, so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many ways it can go, because there's so many ways to build a dystopian world. Like, there's one of our authors that has a story about how corporations have taken over credit cards. And basically, if you had a debt on your credit card, they now own your soul and can like make you go out and kill people. Otherwise, they will like kill your family. And that's how you pay off your debt on your credit card. Which I was like, that's terrifying. That is terrifying to me.
Well, it depends. We got to talk about the rates on that. I mean, am I okay? So they own my soul, but do I get to go after bad people, or is it just like, I'd have to talk about the terms and conditions on that one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and the whole premise is that it was in the fine print that nobody ever reads when they sign up for credit cards. And so, like, you know, people have no negotiating power in these stories. It's just really interesting take on it. And that's why I love dystopias, is because they can go a million different directions, often that you would not even think about.
Yeah, cool. All right, so where are you located? I don't even think we've mentioned that yet. Where are you located at for DragonCon?
We are in the West End on the 6th floor, Chastain F through H.
So is that a new room for you, or is that the one you've been in for the last couple of years?
No, this will be our second year in this room.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we were formerly located at the end of that floor, but we've been moved up. We're in the Whedon Tracks old room.
Oh, okay. Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So before we sign off here, there's a game we like to play with our guest and Lee.
It was really great to talk to you. I want to talk to you more about The Stand later. Let's go. Bye-bye.
Which Lee always tries to get out of. I don't know why. She does wonderfully in this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a choice of three topics. We're going to play three rounds of this. I'm going to give you a choice of three topics. You pick one of them, and we're going to go back and forth naming stuff out of that topic. So, for example, the example I always like to give, if I was to say Batman villains, if you were to play the topic of Batman villains, you would say what, Shannon?
Riddler.
And Lee, you would say
the Joker. Sorry. Joker.
And we go back and forth until someone can't name something, or we get to 10 each, because at that point we're just like, well, you know, that's a lot. Yeah. So
and tell her about the 6 points she already has.
I don't know what you're talking about, Lee. There's no such thing as this. You just keep just keep thinking there
explain is. Explain to her about the 2 points per game that she was going to get to.
Oh, you know what? Oh, sorry, there is a question I do like to ask the guest too before we get to that part. Is if you were to associate yourself with any other genre besides apocalypse, what would you say is the genre that you most associate with?
The genre.
Or like if there's a track at Dragon Con based on it or whatever.
I'm a Whedon girl. Oh, okay. I love Joss Whedon and Firefly in particular.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yep. Anyway, so
wow, what a surprise to put that up there. So now I can't wait to see what the categories are.
Oh, we've already played this one, but I guess we could play it again. Okay, so post-apocalyptic television shows.
We've already played that one. No, that's okay.
We can do that one again. It's all right. I forgot to mark it off. Okay. Disaster films or Steven Universe characters. Oh, we did Steven Universe characters. We'll just mark that one off. How about Atari 2600 games?
We're going to have to do post-apocalyptic because I have no knowledge of the other two.
Oh, okay.
Don't do it. Let's do the movie. Let's do the movie one. Disaster movie. That's more fun.
Shannon, you go first. Name a post-apocalyptic television show.
Into the Badlands.
Lee.
The Tribe.
Shannon.
The 100.
Lee.
Fear of the Walking Dead.
Shannon.
Colony.
Lee.
The Walking Dead.
Shannon.
Last Man on Earth.
Very good. All right. Are you doing a panel on that this year?
We're not. Unfortunately, there's just so many shows and I only have so many hours because I need my sleep, unlike some other track directors. So not this year, but I'm hoping to squeeze it in for next year.
That's a great pull for post-apocalyptic. All right. Yeah. Lee.
Oh God, we just did this one.
I know. Today.
She already said Colony. We said The Tribe. We said The 100. We said The Walking Dead. Sorry.
You said that already.
I know. I said Fear of the Walking Dead.
Then you followed it up on the next round with Walking Dead.
Crap. Okay. She said Colony already, right?
Yeah. I'm going to buzz you.
I can't. Shoot. Nope.
Do you got another one, Chan, just for...
To rub it in my face.
Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was one that came up earlier, too.
I have a question. I am not sure that is... How is that post-apocalyptic? The apocalypse hasn't happened. Skynet didn't take over in the Sarah Connor...
Actually very true. Usually tagged as post-apocalyptic because they're trying to prevent the apocalypse, but that would be pre-apocalyptic.
Well, right. People travel back in time, too, on that, don't they?
They do. The so you do see the apocalypse, but I think it's one of those that didn't really have a genre, so they were like, let's put it over here.
Uh-huh. Okay. It's not you. It's John. I'm not upset about you. You can probably name 12 more, too. I just can't think of one. Although I do like the idea of Adventure Time being potentially post-apocalyptic, because we did talk about that with Brian. That is a neat theory, by the way.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I guess it was last night that we did that as the recordings are going. Yeah. But anyway, okay, so here's your options, Lee. Mad Max, uh-huh. Mad Max characters.
Okay.
Characters from The Simpsons or young adult lit books.
Ooh. Ooh.
Lit books. Yes, lit books. I don't know why young adult literature.
I'm actually going to go with Simpsons.
I don't know why I had to put the word books at the end of that.
Somehow I will screw it up, but I'm going to go Simpsons instead of books.
Okay, Lee, go.
Bart.
Lisa.
Lisa, there you go.
Maggie.
Jen.
Marge.
Lee.
Homer.
Jen.
Mr. Burns.
Lee.
Ned Flanders.
Jen.
Smithers.
Lee.
Mo, the bartender.
Shannon, thanks for the impression too. Shannon,
is it Abu?
Yeah, Abu. Yep. But yeah,
Abu.
Lee,
Barney,
Shannon.
Oh, yeah, I'm out. I've reached the end of my knowledge of other than Grandpa. It's Grandpa.
Yeah.
My Grandpa Simpson wins. Yeah, okay. We already said Smithers, right?
Mm-hmm.
The cat number 7, Muffins or whatever it is, the cat. Because there's been
it
7.
It literally has a name, though.
It does? Whiskers? Yeah. No, it's not Whiskers, not Muffins. It's, oh God, what is that stupid cat's name? The Reverend. Let's just go with the Reverend instead.
Okay. Shannon?
What is the name? Millhouse?
Yeah, there you go. You're back on the track again. Lee?
All right, we already said Ned Flanders. Millhouse. Millhouse was good. Who's the kid that eats paste? and he's got his finger up his nose, and he falls in love with Lee. Oh, the sheriff.
You're going to have to give me his last name.
I'm sorry. Chief Wiggum. Thank you. Sorry. Chief Wiggum.
Shannon.
Okay, now I am definitely completely out of character. I think I've maybe watched 5 episodes of The Simpsons my entire life.
Wow.
So, pretty impressed I got this far.
The name you were looking for earlier, Lee, was Snowball.
Snowball number 7, that's it, yep. Snowball, okay.
And Troy McClure we would have also accepted.
Oh, yes.
In memory of poor Phil Hartman.
The great Dan Hart. Yep, the great Dan.
All right, and now we are back to last round, and Shannon, you get to pick, and here are your topics. Hang on.
We also could add Thelma and Velma, the sisters, but I totally forgot. That's true.
And I forgot Krusty and
What the heck were we thinking here? I tell you,
I don't know. It's we went in the here really early.
It's during the game. Everyone forgets. It's after the game that everyone remembers. Okay, so let's see. Characters from Firefly, Green Lantern enemies, or superhero teams?
Let's do characters from Firefly.
Okay.
What a surprise. Uh-huh.
I know, right?
Shannon, start.
Mal.
Lee.
See, I was going to call him Captain Tight Pants. That doesn't... That, you suck. Wash.
Lee. I mean, Shannon.
Inara.
Lee.
Zoe.
Shannon.
Kaylee.
Lee.
Simon.
Shannon.
Badger.
Lee.
River.
Shannon.
By
the way, you went Badger. Very good for you.
Thanks. Reaching back in there.
That's Mark Shepard, the little black dresser fandom.
James.
He is.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Lee.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who did she say?
Jane. Jane.
Vera. Jane's gun.
All right, I think we had this before, but I will allow it again. Shannon?
Shepherd Book.
Oh, man, that's a good one. Oh, I can't believe I forgot Shepherd Book, too, because I'm a huge Ron Glass fan. Rest in peace, sir.
Yeah.
I can't just talk about the ship, the Serenity, can I?
No, I already gave you Vera.
Okay, the guy that can't stop. You can't stop the signal. You can't. I can't remember his name, though, because he's played by David Kaye, who was in Numbers. David, I can't say his last name right. Climb Colt or something. But and you can't stop the signal, Mal. You can never stop. They killed me, Mal. You can't stop the signal. And I don't know his name.
Signal Guy. That was his name.
I am wondering, I don't remember if I'm sure he had a name, but I
wasn't it like name. The Incredible, Mr. Incredible?
Something like that, yeah. Something like that, yep. And I can't remember the name of the assassin, the guy who was beating the crap out of all of them either, but he might have had a name too. I could also say Mrs. Malcolm Reynolds, because he was married to her.
Mr. Universe was his name.
There we go. Mr. Universe, yeah.
All right, so Shannon wins that round. And I will tally up the score as well. Shannon, you tell us again where people can find you at Dragon Con and where they can get more information about the Apocalypse Rising track on the interwebs.
Sure thing. At Dragon Con, we will be in the Westin on the 6th floor, Chastain F through H. And our full schedule is in the app, and it's also up on our website, apocalypserising.dragoncon.org. And we have a Facebook page, APOC Rising, or our Twitter, AR_track_DC.
Cool. Okay, so the scores are back. And Lee, you got 18 points. Congratulations.
I'll take it.
And Shan, you got 21 points. Congratulations. Yay!
Thank you. So.
And Shannon, when you see me at Dragon Con, maybe we'll see each other as we're running by each other at some point. Just let me know if you think that game in any way, shape, or form might have been a little bit, you know, biased? Or leaning that way. Leaning towards...
I don't know what you're talking about. The contestants pick the categories. I just happen to randomly pull them up.
Uh-huh.
So, until next time.
What other fandom she likes, right?
Until, That, you know, that's a question I ask most all the other directors.
No, you don't. You have asked two.
So until next time, for Lee and Shannon, this is John saying, please don't kill me, Lee. Peace.
Mark Shepard, the little black dress of fandom.
Bye. This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.